Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning to you. It's Thursday. It is. It's Thursday post Major League Baseball All-Star break. We are still chugging along. Actually, just 24 hours. Well, roughly 24 hours from my brother's birthday. So I sent him a card. Have to make sure that I reach out to him tomorrow, which, of course, I would not forget. It's like one of those dates that's permanently imprinted on my brain. I do sometimes forget friends' birthdays, but not my brother, not my mama. Those I always remember. And my nieces, too, because they're on one day on either side of mine. So, of course, I can't forget. So, yes, my brother celebrating birthday, getting old. Of course, I'll have to tease him. So that's coming up tomorrow. And just in case you're interested, Peter Schwartz is also celebrating a birthday on Friday. He and my brother share a birthday. But, yeah, we are nearly in mid-July. And that means NFL training camps are next week. No joke. The earliest NFL training camps start next week. Like, say that out loud with me. Next week. That's insane. But actually, I'm starting to get the bug. I can neither confirm nor deny. I may have borrowed a friend's Netflix password. Is a lightning strike in here anywhere? I don't think so. I think I'm okay. Although maybe I shouldn't reveal or confirm or deny just in case I get my friend in trouble. But since I don't have my own Netflix password, login, and account, I borrowed a friend's, just briefly Netflix. I just borrowed it briefly to be able to watch this new series that we've been talking about for a couple of days. And it dropped, I think yesterday, maybe the day before, but it's that quarterback series that follows Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota over the course of a season, last season. And right away, I was already sucked in. Marcus Mariota's chef talking about how Marcus loves to eat McDonald's for breakfast. And so one morning a week, he's allowed to eat McDonald's for breakfast. This is the mindless knowledge that I really enjoy when it comes to athletes, the stuff that I can use. Kirk Cousins, now a listener, thank you to our, let me see if I can find it so I can give him credit. Ross. Ross was listening earlier and sent me a tweet to let me know that Kirk Cousins was reading an article from a Sports Illustrated Kids edition in which the article was explaining to children why the rules for the NFL have changed to protect quarterbacks. Which, I get it. If you want kids to learn the sport and you want them to know how the sport has drastically tilted in favor of quarterbacks and offenses and essentially why we wrap our quarterbacks in bubble wrap, then all right, an article in Sports Illustrated Kids or SI Kids is great. So yeah, thank you, Ross, for listening and letting me know because I wasn't sure if it was a kid's book. It looked like it was a picture book of some sort. Kirk was reading to his son from this SI Kids edition about why daddy is so thankful that the rules have changed to protect quarterbacks. But then in addition, as he's reading this excerpt from the magazine, there's footage from the field where he is getting pummeled, and I mean flattened by his offensive line, just left him out to dry, flattened by various linebackers, pass rushers, just coming in and eating his lunch. And so there he is again. This is interspersed with him reading to his son about the rules for quarterbacks. He's lying on the ground on the field. Oh, oh, groaning. Poor guy is in all kinds of pain. Anyway, so that was kind of humorous, the way that they started the series. And then Patrick Mahomes, who is the big dog and the star of the show. And so that's dropped. And for my summer viewing pleasure, I've started watching it. It's already really compelling. Coming up in about 15 minutes, conversation that we had earlier on the show. If you missed it, we're trying to make life easy for you. We're a full service operation here. Of course, you can always get our podcast, and the entire show is podcasted every weekday morning without commercials. Well, with a couple of commercials, but not the same ones that you get on the show. Anyway, our guest, we've had him on the show before, but it had been a while. Rob Motti of the Associated Press just sat down and did a one-on-one interview with Patrick Mahomes. Really intriguing stuff. And so I want to bring back part of that conversation. We kind of our precursor to training camp. We talked about this gambling issue that the NFL now has too. So if you're interested, I encourage you to get that podcast with Rob because I asked him, how big of a problem is this for the NFL? And he had, I think, an answer that made a lot of sense, a suggestion for the league to try to sidestep what is becoming a greater problem with, I say, a PR nightmare potentially brewing for the NFL. So we'll bring back part of that in our next segment here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We found out Major League Baseball is milking the spotlight as much as it possibly can before NFL training camps take over. We found out that the Dodgers and Padres will be heading to Seoul, South Korea. You know what I remember about Seoul in terms of sports? Is it was the 1988 Summer Olympics, I think. I know that makes me an 80s baby or an 80s kid. I loved those Olympics. I had some of my favorite athletes that I ever remember watching, at least if I can think of a few. Florence Griffith Joyner, track star. Jackie Joyner Kersee, also a track star, who I think later was disgraced by PED usage, something like that. Let's see. Carl Lewis. Oh, my gosh. When I was a kid, Carl Lewis was one of my favorite athletes. Greg Louganis, too, I think, in diving. And then Janet Evans, who was a swimmer. So I was all about those Olympics in Seoul, South Korea. I think I remembered those athletes correctly. So now South Korea will host a Major League Baseball game. First ever regular season games to take place in South Korea between the Dodgers and the Padres, and they will start next season in mid-March. Obviously, all of these sports leagues continue to expand. They go through these negotiations with different countries and stadiums trying to send their product to various continents, really. You've got Mexico, Canada, for sure. But now we're seeing London and Germany, and the NBA is going to the Far East, and South Korea is just the latest stop. Where would you like to see your favorite team or your favorite league play a game? Bob on Twitter says NFL in Australia, MLB in Puerto Rico, NHL in Austria. Ooh, Austria. Or how about Greenland? A lot of Finnish players in the NHL. That'd be kind of fun, too. So, yeah, the possibilities are endless. So you can find our post up on Twitter or on Facebook. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about, especially if you're maybe wanting to do an international vacation again for the first time in a while or the first time ever. Kind of fun to think about your teams traveling to some of these different places, right? So I know that I've got a bunch of friends who are Red Sox fans, and they're all about following the Red Sox and being able to see them play in another country, right? So, and actually, next year, they're going to play spring training in the DR, in the Dominican Republic, but we'll have games that are kind of spread out all over the place, which is fun. So that's on Twitter and Facebook. Last night was a quieter night in sports, and I love those kinds of nights because we can be real creative. I did watch the USA-Panama match, and the Americans just ran out of gas. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later. It's rare for them to be out of the CONCACAF Gold Cup before the final, at least. But it was the first time ever in their history that they had played not just back-to-back games, but two games in the same tournament in which they've gone not just to extra time, but to penalty kicks. And so they're done. But really, this Gold Cup is more about a transition. It's more about them trying to get organized again after what has been a tumultuous wake of the World Cup. Also last night, the ESPYs, and well, I didn't have a chance to watch it all because of work prep and such, actually driving to get into work. Oh my gosh. First, there was an accident that shut down the highway, detouring through neighborhoods with, you know, semis and all the like. As soon as I got back on the highway, then there was a construction zone that put three lanes down to one. Oy. And if you don't know, our CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located in Manhattan. Apparently, it was a big night to be out and about in Manhattan because it might as well have been rush hour traffic. Are you proud of me, though? I did not get road rage. Not really. I was close. Actually, I was more so frustrated I was about to cry. It took me about a half hour longer than my commute normally takes, and I was early until that happened. So anyway, that's why I missed part of the ESPYs. But I did get in to the office and watch a couple of the moments, the poignant moments, catch them on YouTube or whatever else. Really happy to see Damar Hamlin on stage. And if you didn't see it, I would encourage you to either check it out on social because the videos are up or just find it on YouTube, Google it. I'm so impressed by this young man. I can't wait to see him play football again. He's now 25. But such a life-changing experience that he's so sure, and I do believe, that he's got a new purpose for his life. There are plans and purposes for his life, and he is determined to walk them out. And he's so authentic, and he's genuine, and still the emotion of what he went through at times. We've seen him get choked up. We've seen him speak publicly. And then last night at the ESPYs, what was so amazing is they showed this video. And maybe you all can remember where you were when this game took place, or this game was supposed to take place. The game got underway in Cincinnati between the Bills and the Bengals in early January. The entire stage to themselves. It's Monday Night Football. And early in the game, early in that first quarter, Damar collapses on the field. First responders, training staffs, everybody that could possibly have any knowledge or any insight or any skill rushes to his aid. He gets revived not once but twice. As he says, he died twice on the field. I mean, you've got other athletes who are out there from both the Bills and the Bengals crying. It was scary. And for a couple of days, we didn't know what was going to happen with Damar. He wasn't awake. He was in a hospital bed with his family in Cincinnati. And then it was about 48 hours later that we heard the news that he was awake. And man, what a miracle recovery it has been, because he's about to start playing football again. And he's going to join the Bills in training camp, and he's been cleared to play. So as they're showing this video of really the events that transpired in Cincinnati, Damar is obviously backstage at the ESPYs and he's watching this. He wasn't even receiving an award himself. He was actually presenting the Pat Tillman Award for Service. And as he comes out, they finally, the voice God announces his name. As he comes out onto the stage, he's already crying. And again, I love this young man, that he is so open with his emotions and authentic. And just, this was so personal, obviously so scary for him and his family. And yet he continues to put himself front and center, even if it means sometimes he breaks down in front of the whole world. I love his heart. So he comes out and he's already crying and he can't get his words to come out. He can't quite get his emotions together. And Travis Kelce, I think, was one of the first people to stand. The entire auditorium rises and they're clapping, and there's athletes in the stands or in the auditorium they show that are crying too. And Damar finally is able to get it out, but only after a good 30 seconds of the auditorium just cheering for him, supporting him, and waiting for him to be able to speak.
Please welcome this year's recipient of the Pat Tillman Award for Service, the training staff of the Buffalo Bills.
So then the training staff of the Bills come out, and he continues to cry. But what really struck me and what I love so much is that it's obvious this group of people has formed an incredible bond with Jamar. They hug him. They're rubbing his back. They're essentially, it turns into a big group hug of support for Jamar. And I always think about it from Jamar's perspective. These people saved his life. But from their perspective, it's pretty incredible too. They got to be part of that experience. And now their entire profession, along with the first responders and the doctors and nurses at the various hospitals, are also getting the attention that they deserve and kind of recognizing how valuable these people are. But yeah, what a bond that they formed with him too. So it's pretty incredible to see. So I encourage you to go and to watch the video if you haven't. But yeah, even Nate Breske, who was receiving the award on behalf of the training staff, even he was choked up and needed a couple of seconds before he could speak.
My name is Nate Breske. I'm the head athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills. I'm humbled and honored to be speaking tonight, representing the Buffalo Bills athletic training and medical staff. By the grace of God and divine intervention, we had the best outcome we could have prayed for or imagined. It was a massive army of specialists who came together on and off the field to do their jobs that night. That team includes the Bills and Bengals athletic training and medical staffs. Jamar, first and foremost, thank you for staying alive, brother. Seriously, we are so honored to be standing up here next to such a strong and courageous human being.
It was pretty cool. I just love that, as I say, these human beings have bonded over this life or death experience, this life or death moment, and now they're so supportive of one another. One other moment that I'm sure you've heard about or you will hear about because it was also really poignant. Liam Hendricks, who's now a cancer survivor and is back pitching in Major League Baseball, he was honored with the Jimmy V Award. And one particular part of his acceptance speech really stuck out to me, since, like many of you, I've got a close friend as well as a family member battling cancer right now. So listen to his advice.
If I leave you with anything, and I cannot stress this enough, please reach out to anybody going through anything similar to this, whether it be cancer, whether it be anxiety, whether it be depression, whether it be any number of things. Trust me, you are not annoying. You will not be an annoyance to us. All that matters is that you give us that little bit of a text. That could be the singular moment of us picking up our spirits and being able to advance to the next stage, being able to advance that next day of treatment, being able to advance past anything that we're going through. That one text can be the difference. So like Jimmy V said, don't give up. Don't ever give up. And I won't.
Love that. Yeah, his story has been documented too. Liam and his wife, I think her name is Christy, she was there as well. And he received the Jimmy V Award, that iconic speech, so many years ago that's now part of sports lore, but has also continued to encourage so many people. So on ABC, ESPN, the ESPY Awards, got to give them credit for that. But yes, as I was listening to Liam, I was thinking about our friend John Kincaid. Many of you know him. And I will admit, there are times over the past month and a half where I've thought, shoot, am I bothering him? Am I being a pest? I keep asking how he's doing. Maybe he doesn't want to hear from me, or maybe he's going through a lot. Maybe I shouldn't text him. But I continue to do so. And Liam, with what he said last night, makes me feel better about it. So yes, I will continue to pester our friend John Kincaid. And I know he just went through chemo treatment number 3 on Wednesday, and he will not give up. As he says, there's only one acceptable outcome. All right, straight ahead, Rob Motti sat down with Patrick Mahomes and had a one-on-one, even as he prepares for another season in which they are the defending champions with the bullseye on their backs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Wesley Financial sponsors our QB News. A little bit different on this edition of the show. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. But we were really excited to catch up with AP lead NFL writer Rob Motti earlier in the show because he just had a one-on-one conversation with not just Patrick Mahomes, but also Jalen Hurts in advance of the upcoming season. So I want to pick up part of this conversation, even as Patrick was featured at the ESPYs last night, and he's the star of the show. And that's actually where I began with Rob, because here are the Chiefs. They're coming off another Super Bowl win, and what have we seen? The star power of Patrick and Travis Kelce, I mean, the match that they played in Vegas, and just how much people can't seem to get enough of these guys, and I'm part of that because I really enjoy them, their personalities, and the Chiefs, their popularity.
It's so great and refreshing to see guys just going out there, being who they are, having fun. And I've always enjoyed Travis Kelce, knew his brother Jason when I was in Philly. And just to see Patrick, the way he handles being a superstar, a megastar. With Tom Brady retired, he's the face of the NFL, unequivocally. It's Patrick Mahomes. And if ever there's going to be a player to challenge Tom Brady's GOAT status, it's Patrick, and he's got a long way to go. He's got five more rings, and I don't think anyone will ever get there. But he's the only guy who could potentially, at 27 years old, two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time AP NFL MVP. So he gets it. I just love the way he approaches getting better still. No matter what he's accomplished, he's looking at and focusing in on how can I be better every day? How can I continue to do this, sustain the success? And what they have going on in Kansas City with Coach Andy Reid, who's now cemented his status as a Hall of Famer. There's some changes. Amy, Eric Bieniemy is no longer the offensive coordinator there. He's left. He's going to Washington. So there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment, but Matt Nagy steps in. He was there 6-7 years ago as the OC before he went to Chicago. So there's going to be a little bit of getting accustomed to someone else in his ear and all of that stuff for Patrick. But this team's built for continued success. And as you said, it's fun to watch these guys.
You had a chance to talk to Patrick one-on-one for your AP Pro Football podcast. What did you all talk about? I can imagine it's tough to narrow it down when you only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to ask him that legacy question because he's young, he's accomplished so much, and I said, do you even think about that? And it's interesting when you talk to different guys, how do they handle that question? How do they approach it? Something, oh, that's too far down the line. He said, no, I think everybody thinks about legacy and how they're remembered. But he said, at the same time, you have to value the moment in hand and trying to be better that season and making sure that you put everything into it so you have no regrets. And he said, as long as I have no regrets at the end of my career, that's what it's all about. It's not about the rings or the trophies or the accomplishments. It's making sure you worked as hard as you possibly can to be the best player you can be. And, you know, I talked to him about repeat. It's been two decades, right, Amy, since the Patriots in 03 and 04 repeated. And they know, the Chiefs know how difficult that is because they had that opportunity and lost to Brady and the Buccaneers 3 years ago. And he said, it's just hard. He's like, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. He said, you can do everything the right way and still come up short. They've been to five straight AFC championship games, all hosted at Arrowhead Stadium, and lost two of them. Three times they advanced, two times they win the Super Bowl. So you know, we had some great conversation, a little bit about what Andy Reid has meant to him and what Eric Bieniemy's departure is going to look like, and had some fun. He's a dad. I got two little girls. He's got a boy now and a girl. So, you know, his diaper games got to be right there as good as his all-pro status on the field. He's got to help out and do a little bit of that too as well.
I'm glad that you brought up Andy Reid because I think their relationship is so unique, and who knows how much longer he has, but you can hear the joy when he talks about that relationship. How would you characterize the way that the two have been able to work together?
I think it's been a perfect relationship. And he said Andy has meant the world to him. And he said that if he went somewhere else, he cannot be who he is as a quarterback. And he credits Andy for helping him and allowing him to be that playmaker, to be that dynamic off-schedule plays. And, you know, we see Patrick Mahomes throwing balls left-handed sometimes and everything that he does. Andy allows him to do that. He doesn't try to fit him into an image or want him to be somebody he's not. And Andy gets it. He learned in Philadelphia what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, didn't do it there for the fans and for the Eagles, but he goes to Kansas City. He lands Patrick Mahomes, makes a point to move up to get him in the draft and kind of hit the jackpot. And I don't think he's done. And I know there was some talk about, hey, potentially that could have been it last year. He's like, I'm having fun. He's got Patrick Mahomes. Why not chase a third ring, a fourth ring, and more? So I think that's the ideal relationship now. You look at Brady and Belichick and now Reed and Mahomes, but I think those relationships are different. With Belichick and Brady, it wasn't quite as friendly as it is. Like, you got Andy Reid imitating Patrick Mahomes, his voice, right? That's something you'd never see Bill Belichick do, and I think it's just a different kind of relationship. It's a very special one, unique one.
Rob Motti is the lead NFL writer for the Associated Press and with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Did you have a chance to ask him about this new Netflix series that he is a part of with Kirk Cousins and Peyton Manning and then Marcus Mariota? I started watching it. It's actually really compelling.
I'm hoping I get another opportunity to talk to him about that too. Specifically, I'd like to see it. And I'm sure it's very compelling. But
yes.
You know, though, Amy, I'm surprised that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid would agree to do something. Now, I know Andy made sure that there were some restrictions and limitations on there, but Andy's always been an all-business guy, right? And no, don't bring in any extra distractions. And that speaks to the relationship that he trusts Patrick enough,
right,
to where he can do something like that. Because, like it or not, and no, they could say whatever, that's a distraction. I don't know if you know this, but I know a little bit about reality TV and having some cameras around. And my wife and I did it way back like 10, 12 years ago. It's a big time distraction to have people following you around and everything else. And it's not something that you would expect an NFL team to really agree to. But I guess Andy trusted Patrick to be able to handle that. And it paid off. They won the Super Bowl. It didn't take him off course.
Speaking of reality TV, the Jets are the team that will be part of Hard Knocks. And you talk about the distraction. Now, Aaron Rodgers is certainly used to that, but kind of interesting to think about his first time outside of Green Bay, not only getting accustomed to a new team and teammates and routine and everything else, but also having the cameras follow them around.
Yeah, it's going to be a circus. If it wasn't already, it's and you know, obviously, you're there in New York. You know what that market is going to be like, and it already has been. And I was asked a couple weeks ago, I forget which show I was on, and who's got the most pressure going into training camp. And I said Aaron Rodgers. And I think now it's even magnified because of all the spotlight, the Hard Knocks, the cameras, and everything else. There's going to be some drama that comes out of it. And I'm sure there's going to be some stuff that's made for TV a little bit. I know how that goes behind the scenes. And here you got a team that was 7-4 and then lost out. They bring in Aaron Rodgers. They're trying to get to the next level. They haven't made the playoffs in forever. It's going to be fun. That's going to be some compelling TV. That's going to be some must-watch TV. And it's good. I'm very interested to see how Aaron Rodgers handles it because he doesn't hold back.
No.
You know that, Amy. He doesn't hold back in his criticism of the media. He doesn't hold back in his criticism of anyone who has a different viewpoint. And I think he's got a raw deal over the past few years. I actually appreciate someone who's going to go out there and try and think for himself. And I like that about Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets, Hard Knocks, in case you hadn't heard. That seems like it seems like it's rigged. It was pre-planned, but I know, of course, it was not. However, that will be enticing, I suppose, if you're into Hard Knocks. I did enjoy the Lions' most recent iteration, and then here comes Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. As for Rob's conversation with Jalen Hurts, there's really good stuff in there as well, because Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are two of the league's most recognizable players, certainly two of its brightest stars, and yet they couldn't be more opposite in terms of personality. So if you want to hear the rest of that conversation with Rob, we talked about the gambling issue that the NFL is now dealing with. It'll be part of our podcast, and the link is always posted every weekday morning on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, though Producer Jay is out right now, so it might be posted in the afternoon. Just go to any of the previous links, and if you open it up, it will take you right to our podcast. Or really, you should have it bookmarked by now. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Good morning to you. It's a Thursday. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Skia had the run coming through. The U.S. thinking that was offside. Let it go. Turner comes out. Does it get there? And unless an offside flag can save the United States on VAR, it's Yvonne Anderson who has put Panama in front. At the end of this first half, extra time. Is that one for Ferreira?
It's Route 1 stuff. And it's Jordan Morris who wins the first one that sets it up. But take nothing away from this finish. Oh my goodness, sweet!
This is After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
An incredible round kick from Jesus Ferreira, who is racking up the goals in the Gold Cup. But this is where the road ends for Team USA. Yeah, U.S. men's national team out in the semifinals. So not reaching the final of the CONCACAF Gold Cup for the first time since 2015 is what I read. And it's another match that went into the PKs, the penalty kicks, which I don't love. As it turned out, though, the Americans were kind of running on empty since they had to play a match that went into extra time and penalty kicks against Canada in the quarters. It's the first time they've ever had to play two games that went into extra time in the same tourney. And it was clear that they were sucking wind. It was very hot in San Diego. A lot of people will tell you that San Diego has the world's perfect weather, or at least the best weather in the United States. And it was hot. They even had hydration breaks that were worked in because of how hot it was. We're worried about these guys cramping up and being dehydrated, heat stroke, that type of thing. And so they were dealing with the heat as well. Not that Panama wasn't, but on the heels of their match against Canada, they definitely looked like they were exhausted. And then into penalty kicks. I know Matt Turner was the hero against Canada. Ultimately, though, Panama with the upper hand. And so they're out before they get to the final. Honestly, we know this is not the World Cup. What matters most now is that they are prepared for the World Cup qualifier. Now, they don't even need to qualify, but just the run-up to the World Cup, because it's here in the United States, as well as Canada and Mexico with assorted games, so North American. And they want to be able to capitalize on what just happened in late 22. The way that the whole coaching situation has unfolded and been so dramatic since the end of the World Cup, with Greg Berhalter out. Well, he was playing on an expiring contract anyway, but they didn't renew it. And then they ultimately bring him back after an investigation. And for the Gold Cup, a lot of guys are on and off the field because you've got guys that are still with their club teams. And so they're not with the U.S. men's national team all the time when they're going through Gold Cup. But it's just been tumultuous since the World Cup ended. What they need now is to be steady, is to work on their depth, right? Because they were really young. They want to have some depth, which is what a lot of these other tournaments are about, like the Gold Cup. Not that you don't want the bragging rights, but I think it's clear that they've got positions that are short up. They just really need to get Greg Berhalter back working again, right? So he will take over. But also, they need to build on what they did. It's time for the United States to not just get to the group stage, but actually advance in group stage and to be able to hang with the best nations in the world. And ultimately, that is the goal. Matt Turner, I love watching him in goal now. He is truly an American star. and disappointed because he feels like it's on him, which it's every goalkeeper, right?
I'm really proud of this group because we battled and it wasn't easy for us. You know, we kept it 0-0 for as long as we could. We did the little things right for majority of the game, but, you know, a small mistake on my part. Oh, I say small, but it was a huge mistake. And kind of go from here to 0, and then the team picks me up and then gets into penalty kicks, and we didn't get the job done tonight. So it's always penalty kicks can be kind of a 50-50 whatever. But again, just this group, resilient to battle back, and it's been kind of like our MO all tournament. We wish we didn't go behind, but sometimes you do, and it's a credit. And I think that these experiences will do well for our player pool.
It is amazing how the Americans very often are about possession and the little engine that could, and they certainly don't blow other teams out. But this is their opportunity to take this young fan or this young group, excuse me, this young base with Greg Berhalter and really be ready for that next World Cup in 26. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've been asking you about various nations that you think you'd like to see host sporting events because it's happening. Like it or not, it is happening. We're going to see some of our favorite teams. We're going to see our favorite sports continue to spread out. They've got sprawl, urban sprawl. And the NFL is seriously considering, I mean, I guess serious would be the word used by some analysts, probably not all analysts, but is at least considering moving a division or a team across the pond and taking our NFL and fracturing it for the sake of expanding to fan bases where they feel like there's a lot of earnings potential and revenue potential. And we know Germany has now hosted games, London for sure, Mexico always. For Major League Baseball, they obviously put games everywhere, but most notably to start next season, South Korea and Seoul for the first time. And so in light of that, because you cannot stop it, you can only, what is the phrase? If you can't beat them, join them. You're not going to beat these leagues into saying no more. Okay. The almighty dollar is king. Well, they feel like there's a whole lot of almighty dollars out there where they can tap into new fan bases and introduce their sport. In the case of the NFL. Now, in the case of basketball, baseball, they're popular in other places overseas. I mean, think about the number one overall pick coming from France and already being a sensation here in the United States. And that's happening more and more in the NBA. Major League Baseball has got such an awesome international flair, especially players that come from Central and South America. The life and the joy and the energy they bring to the game is awesome. So it's going to happen. Where would you like to see some of these games land? Maybe a place that you would visit. You would consider following them. So on Facebook, we've got the post up After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Sam says Italy. I would love that. I don't know. So my mom's side of the family is Italian. I don't know what the Italians would think of the NFL. But I think it would be worth a shot. Let's do it. So Sam goes with Italy, which I love. Gerard on our Facebook page says in Puerto Rico to honor Roberto Clemente. That would be cool. Could you imagine if we started sending games, whatever sport it is, out to places where you've got Hall of Famers that are from other nations and really could do a whole series like that where they honor some of the greats of the game. Steven on Facebook goes with France or Greece. Oh, yes. What sport should we send to Greece? Can we do it next to the sea? Because it is incredibly blue and beautiful. Greece is on my travel bucket list. But see, if I have a bucket list destination, I do not want to go for a sporting event. That would feel like too much work to me. But yes, Greece would be really cool. Jeff is a little bit snarky. He says, send the Dodgers to any other country and have them stay there and play. All right. You all, too many of you are answering Russia. I don't like your tone. I don't like the tone that you're taking on a Thursday morning with me. Juan goes with Greenland. Yes, absolutely. I don't even know if they get enough people to fill a stadium there in Greenland, but let's do it. David says Germany. I loved it there. Let's see. Adam goes with the Dominican Republic, which actually baseball will be, I think they're doing preseason or spring training games there next year is what we read. So the DR in Puerto Rico. Mike says Brazil. Jason goes with Australia. Oh, could you imagine how long it would take them to recover from the jet lag? I've not been to Australia, but I have a friend who went and she said it was a 24-hour flight one way. I went to the East Coast of Africa. On the way there, we were 20 hours in the tube. 20 hours. That was with a stop to refuel on the West Coast of Africa. On the way back, because there was a headwind, 24 hours in an airplane. It's too long. 24 hours in an airplane. It took me 3 weeks to recover. Now, the trip itself was amazing to be able to work with kiddos. And it's a really neat trip where played soccer with little kids in the bush. Did a kid's day with 400 chillins. But mostly, the travel kicked my rear end. How long would you have to send an NFL team to Australia for them to be able to play a game? Be ready to play a game with all that jet lag, excuse me. Greg says the NFL in Italy, and Roland says MLB in Japan, maybe the All-Star game. Ooh, they do love Major League Baseball and they're superstars. So I like that. Daniel on Twitter, A-Law Radio, goes with the Netherlands. He says the European nation that truly plays baseball. And then he says Finland that plays a variation of baseball. Like I said, many of you being snarky about Russia and the Saudis. I mean, can't you just answer the question? Is that it? That's all. I just need you to answer the question. And I want to share this tweet from Roger as we're wrapping up. We were playing the audio from Liam Hendricks, who's the received the Jimmy V Award. He was the Jimmy V Award recipient on the ESPYs. And what he said is, if I can give you a piece of advice, reach out. Continue to reach out to people that you know who are battling cancer, or maybe people that you know who are going through anxiety, depression. He said, you never know if that one text or that one call could be the reason why they continue fighting another day. So Roger sends me this tweet. Definitely keep bugging your friend, because I have a friend that I'm worried about being a pain. He says, Roger says, I beat cancer twice. I know firsthand that all those texts and phone calls from friends and family mean absolutely everything. Roger, thank you for sharing that. I love that. And I will keep bugging my friend, and you should too. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.